Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Fizzle, honest online business training for aspiring entrepreneurs. Fizzle has trained more than 10,000 aspiring entrepreneurs, and you as a Hack the Entrepreneur listener are eligible for a 5-week free trial to see if Fizzle is right for you. To take advantage of your 5-week free trial, go to fizzle.co/hack.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me again today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. Today's guest is a software engineer, master of automation, and an entrepreneur. He started his career as a software developer and spent many years honing his craft before going out on his own. Today he's the co-founder and CEO of iSpionage, a competitive analysis software tool for search engine advertising. With over 8 years building and growing this business, my guest has become passionate about helping people solve problems. Now, let's hack. Leon Krishnayana. Have you ever had a day at the office when you wondered what it would be like to have the freedom to work when and where you want and to do work that actually matters to you? When the thought first enters your mind, it might seem impossible. Freedom. And doing work that you believe in? Nah, it doesn't seem likely. But what if you had a step-by-step plan to build a business that would give you both freedom and purpose? That's why Fizzle exists. Fizzle is the very best place on the web to learn to build an independent business from scratch. An independent business might be the very best way to earn a living doing something that you care about. As a Hack the Entrepreneur listener, Fizzle has a very special offer for you. To help you get started, visit fizzle.co/hack and you will get 5 weeks of in-depth training on how to build an independent business from scratch for free. That's F-I-Z-Z-L-E, or is that F-I-Z-Z-L-E, .co. That's right, not .com, .co. F-I-Z-Z-L-E.co/hack, and you will get 5 weeks of free training. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have another very, very special guest. Leon, welcome to the show.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be in this show, and I look forward to speak with you.
Oh, I think it's going to be a blast. All right, let's jump straight into the first question. Leon, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
That's a great question, John, and let me think about that. I think, you know, for me specifically, I would contribute, you know, credit that to my persistencies in facing challenges. I've been in this business for about, you know, 8 years now, almost 8 years. So if you are in a business for 8 years, there's so many kind of like roller coasters that you went through, essentially. A big one or small one, a big one like, you know, strategy or product didn't work and you have to go back to the drawing board, and that is a pain experience. And small ones like the mundane of day-to-day work activities that you have to do, and sometimes you just get tired of it. You have a startup fatigue, and, you know, you get that kind of a small roller coaster, essentially, right? So, you know, being persistent, I think, is the key of to ride it out, this bumps, big bumps, small bumps. But I think, you know, like that word persistent is pretty cliche and everybody says that. And I get it. But I think persistence is kind of like an outcome, a result of certain things underlying it. So I think for me specifically, I can be as persistent as I am, because I have this ability to self-regulate my emotional state and energy level. So for when that happens, when I'm in the bottom of the pit moment, normally what I do is that I just walk out from the office, just, you know, walk in the park, go to the park or go to the mall and watch movies or even, you know, go to the gym, you know, just to make sure that I can be off from that problem for a moment and get self-introspection time in that sense. You know, so I think that's the one big thing that I do to be persistent. But during those moments, though, like when I'm walking on the park like that, if I just do that, which I did before, and then I just get back to the office without doing a lot of introspecting and praying, so is that I will go back into that mode again. So during those period of time, normally what happens is that this is the second thing that I think helps me a lot in being persistent is my faith. During the stroll in the park, I pray, I ask, you know, like for guidance, and I meditate and self-introspection. And that really helps me a lot in, you know, like finding the right positive thinking, essentially, to go back and fight another day, essentially, you know. So because, you know, during those moments, sometimes you just cannot call your friends, or you have to have like a brave face in front of your kind of like employees, right? You cannot just, you know, show that you're like in that bad moment, even though it shows no matter what. But you want to put like, hey, we can do this. We can go through this, right? But where do you draw that kind of energy, right? As someone on the top of the position, that's not going to be easy. Your friends, your other CEO friends, for example, they are all busy. So I got to be able to regulate and, you know, pull that from somewhere that is widely available. For me, it's the faith. You know, like I read my Bible and it just, there's so many positive stories that, you know, you basically, in a way, it says that you got to be, you know, brave and courageous and strong in doing this, and because he will be with me in that sense. So, you know, with that in mind, and you get, if I read those kind of things and then I go back with that, it brings up the self-confidence back up, and then kind of like understand that the whole thing, the whole bump, you know, like the roller coaster emotion on a roller coaster that I go through is essentially part of the learning process to become a better person, thus leads me to become persistent in doing this business for 7-8 years.
Nice. I like it. And so it's kind of like you are separating sort of like the outcome or what is happening in your business from yourself, if I'm getting this right, meaning that when something is going wrong or the roller coaster, you're in one of those low moments, it's a low moment in your business, but it's not necessarily because of you. But sometimes if we don't stop and we don't go introspectively and take that time, then we can let it defeat us. Like think that like, whoa, maybe I'm no good. Maybe I'm not smart enough. Maybe I'm not good enough to do this. But really it's not. It's just sort of part of that ride of entrepreneurship.
Totally. Exactly. You know, like if you keep comparing yourself with the ideal situation, I live in Silicon Valley. So there's a lot of people around me that are pretty successful, like big success, not just small success, but, you know, the Facebook of the world. And it's so easy to compare yourself against those giants, and it can even put you even further down if you don't do that kind of self-introspection. And instead of thinking and comparing yourself to the ideal situation, I normally try to compare myself with my previous version of me a year ago, 6 months ago. And then you started to see, it's like, you know, I made some progress, you know, maybe not the way, you know, like not the best, you know, I haven't reached my full potentials, but I'm getting there, you know, so that helps a lot.
Yeah. So you've been in this business now for 8 years. So let's go back either to the beginning of this business or if it's before that, but we need to go back to this point in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things, that either they have this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or they find they just simply cannot work for somebody else anymore. So Leon, I would love to know which side of the fence you see yourself on and when it was you discovered this about yourself.
I think for me, it's a little bit of both. You know, I came from a family. My parents are professionals, but my grandparents are entrepreneurs and they were pretty successful. So I watched them grow their business to be in that level. And I was like, inspired by that. But then, you know, I came to the US like about 20 years ago, and I went to college and as a technical background, being a professional, worked for American, you know, the corporate America for years. And then at some point, I was really bored, you know, bored to death, essentially, in my cube doing the same thing, even though it's, you know, it's a bigger in a bigger company that all the resources is available. But it's just, I'm getting tired of doing the same thing. And I wanted to try myself having that kind of experience of a childhood experience, watching my grandparents' success in that sense. I was like, okay, it's time for me to actually do this myself like that, right? So that's, you know, I'm a little bit of both, but it's a progression from that thing. The one that wanted to make a change in the world kind of thing is the seed. And then being bored is the catalyst to actually make you actually do the things that I do right now.
Yeah, and that's true. And it changes over time, but usually there's something that sparks it. So between like starting espionage and being like working in the corporate world bored to death, prior to starting this business, did you start like side businesses or did you create software on the side and do?
Yeah, exactly. So I was working for this company, and then me and my wife at that time, we were just like fascinated with e-commerce. And this is like 10 years ago. And we were like, okay, let's do this. And there's not many of e-commerce platform available out there. So I actually built my own shopping cart and, you know, basically built an e-commerce site from the ground up. We ran that business for a couple of years. And then we were like, you know, one of my assignment is to get traffic to the business. And we were doing a lot of SEO at that time. But it takes a while, you know, like SEO takes a while for you to be actually see an actual traffic coming to the website. So what happened is that, okay, we wanted to do something faster, which is Google AdWords at that time. And we were like, okay, let's do it. But you got to pay for that, right? So we kind of like started doing that. And I don't see a result. I didn't see a result for the activity that I'm doing in Google AdWords. And that's the time where I was like, I wonder why my competitors are essentially still out there and doing the same kind of like ad copies, keywords, bidding on the same keywords, and I barely make any money out of it. And I wanted to learn more about them. So I created this tool, the seed of espionage at that time, essentially like the internal tools to really monitor what my competitors are doing. So it's essentially that becomes a product by itself and becomes the product as it is now. Well, of course, it morphs into a real product. But one thing leads to another. Like you said, like I started with the boredom. I created this side business, and then from there, I created this internal tools. And then after that, you know, this internal tools become its own product, and we just closed the e-commerce business after that.
Wow, that's cool. I like that. And so you're scratching your own itch, basically. Like this is something you actually needed to use. And then at some point, it overtook the business that it was helping. And you're like, this is actually a business in itself.
Right.
And then you're a co-founder, right?
I'm the founder.
You're the founder. Okay.
I'm the solo founder, actually. Yeah.
I'm the solo founder. Excellent. So then I would like to understand like sort of, this can be sort of project-based, but how have you stayed focused on one business and one main project for 8 years? As an entrepreneur, I know that it's like, I can only assume that you're probably like me and like the rest of us. We get kind of all these ideas come to us. We want to do new things, try new stuff. How do you stay focused? How do you stay focused on this business and know that it still has all of this traction to gain in front of it?
I didn't. We made that mistakes too. You know, we were like, hey, I think this is the year 3 after doing this. When you are like the first few years, you know, there's so many that you still can build or do within that business without getting kind of like bored, right? But after a few years, you started to have that kind of like fatigue moment. And it's like, hey, you know what? This is already a self-running business. and let's do something else. And at that time, we were, you know, we were building like the Uber for airport pickup. So we did that for a year, kind of like a 2 years of research and development, and talking to people and trying to build this. And we were successfully delivering, I mean, like giving a ride for people to go and from the airport for about 100 people, I think, during the 6 months that we were in business. But then we realized that, man, this is a totally two different business. Nothing in common, essentially, between those two, like the different type of customer base, different type of technology, and so on. Then we started to realize that, oh man, this is not good. You know, like we only have that much of resources, and the business, if you want to grow both, it's going to take so much. We won't be able to actually leverage the one type of customers to another like that. There's no bridge between those two. So we decided to actually, it's like, you know what, let's pull the plug on that one and then just stay focused on espionage. So it's kind of like learning by mistakes, you know, like, you know, we made that mistakes, and but we learned a lot. We know now about how what the marketplace business is looks like, the KPI in it, and so on. But it's at the end of the day, to answer your questions, sometimes you don't know. You don't know when to focus. You will know when after you're doing it, and then you know that, okay, this is not right. And then you got to pull the plug and just focus on the golden goose that provides for you, essentially.
Yeah, and that's true. You do. And you don't know. You don't know usually, but I think it will become obvious as you stay to it.
Right.
So the whole like dealing with like startup fatigue and the ups and downs, you have this ability to be persistent and your ability to sort of self-regulate. This is your one thing. Now, every expert talks about the 80-20 rule. So you do 20% of the work, you get 80% of the results. You're supposed to do what you're good at in your business, and then you're supposed to delegate the rest. Leon, can you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
Yes. I think there are plenty of them because, you know, I'm really good at certain things and not good at many things. And one of them, let me think about the biggest one, I would say, following up with task. That is not an easy thing for me, especially, you know, when you have a lot of ideas, you have to manage a lot of things at the same time. Managing, following up with, and this is the one that I think has the biggest negative impact for our business, is following up with sales like that. You know, so we have leads. I can do the intro, I can do a demo or anything to initiate the conversation. But when it comes to the follow-up thing, it normally fell through the crack. But fortunately, these days, there's so many tools that can help you on that. You know, I sometimes thought that, you know, it's better to delegate to someone else. But I tried to minimize that, because in delegating things to other people, there are overhead also, you know, so unless that task is big enough that, you know, that person can actually need to actually doing it like almost a full time type. If it is like a part-time type, I try to automate it more than delegating it, because using the tools or using any kind of automation, it makes it, there's not much of overhead, like people management and, you know, tracking their performance and so on. You know, the tools will be there for you and help you out in doing so. So I guess it's I'm coming from the tech background and trying to actually, you know, increase performance by automation as much as I can.
Yeah, that's awesome. So automate rather than delegate. Delegation's super hard for people, yet the other hard side with automation is that sometimes we get so, like, we can just distract ourselves and procrastinate and not accomplish anything. Be like, I'm going to spend all day like researching which tool is the best one to automate this. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
So is there, would you, something like following up with a lead, would you immediately think, okay, I remember reading a post about this, so I'm going to just go for this one, and if I find a better one later? Or would you be, with the technical side, be like, I think I could build something in-house myself. It might take me a few weeks, but I could do it.
Yeah. And that's the part of the mistakes that we made as well, because if we try to keep doing that, then all these tools that needs to be maintained by us, it's going to blow up on our face. So we tried to do it ourselves before, but now I'm going to look for automation tools out there that is already quite popular and probably going to try that more. And then maybe integrating it in with our system, that's the part that I do some kind of automation. For example, like adding all these leads into this tool that we use, there's no API or there's no connection between those two. So in order for me to actually do it, I need to export all the leads that we have, clean it up, make it into a good format that it can be imported into their format, essentially, right? But that takes time. So I built this tools essentially to just do that kind of like cleanup process and everything, just so that I can export out from our system to that system in less than 5 minutes. You know, that's what the automation, that like the in-house automation that we built. But I don't want to rebuild that system that we use for the follow-up, because it's by itself is a product. I'd rather use someone else's that already has like a support team and engineering team behind that, and just build the bridge so that we can, you know, like export and put it into that automation tool a lot faster. You know,
yeah, smart. And that's really smart, because rather than using it, I mean, you're using it as is, but this way it adapts to your processes as well. And
right.
I guess this goes back to your one thing, is this whole introspective nature of yourself, is that you are very much aware of your own weaknesses. And
right.
I think you're learning to automate as much as possible so that you don't drop the ball on these people, because you need to make those sales.
Yeah. I want to, you know, touch base on the thing that you mentioned about delegating. I think delegating itself, if you can find like an A-level player, I would do that very, you know, in a heartbeat. But getting that kind of person that knows exactly what needs to be done without a lot of training, without a lot of, you know, like things that we have to basically put the resources to put this guy up to speed, that's hard.
Yeah.
You know, that's the tough one. And for me to actually choose automation rather than delegation is because that finding that kind of person for a reasonable price, you know, it's not easy. So I think at the long run for us, it's cheaper to actually do this kind of automation rather than finding that person that can do exactly what we wanted to do without a lot of training. And of course, it depends on the nature of the business. We are like a software business and it's pretty sophisticated. So in order for us to find that person, there's a lot of training time. And we tried that. It's not that we didn't try. We tried that, and it's hard to find the A-level player for the cost that we can afford, you know?
It is. And I think that's why so many companies now have co-founders.
Yes.
You're the technical co-founder, and then there's like the sales marketing business co-founder.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys, because you only get paid based on what the business does, it's not like you have to output a whole bunch of money right now, which is hard for a business to do. But I think that's why it is more common for companies to have co-founders than it is to have just single founders, because you can because it's hard. You can't have all skill sets. You're not supposed to, right? As an entrepreneur, you're supposed to just have your core set.
Right.
And then you're right. It's hard to hire a level, but you can partner with people that can do it. But then that's a hard thing to do as well.
Yes. I mean, when you started a business, it's good. I mean, like learning from my experience, I really wish that I had a co-founder at that time. You know, I didn't know any better. So I took the opportunity rather than I missed the whole thing and trying to wait for the co-founder at that time. I was like, okay, let's just do it, you know?
Exactly.
But right now, if I have to start over again, that's one of the things that I would try to find first, you know, like find a co-founder. Totally agree with that.
Yeah, that's awesome. All right. This has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on one final question, Leon. This idea I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap. So as entrepreneurs, we have this constant thing where we are always projecting our success into the future. So in 3 months, when you hit this revenue goal, you'll be successful. In 6 months, when you do this, you'll be successful. Yet right before you get there, you set bigger, loftier goals even further into the future. And we end up living in this gap which is we're never at the success we want to be because it's always ahead of us. Which, yes, we have to project goals, we have to go and push ahead, but sometimes we end up in this gap. And I would like right now, you've been now in business for yourself for over 8 years. You've got to quit the job that was boring you to death. That's amazing. And you've built your own lifestyle around this. So I would love if you could stop right now, look back, and up till today, if you could tell me exactly up till this moment how you feel about your entrepreneurial journey till now.
That's a real good question. And it's totally real. And I encounter this quite often, especially when you're already in the business for that long, right? It's always a moving target, essentially. You have this bar that is getting higher and higher. And sometimes you feel that I will never reach that moment. And that is the, you know, like part of that thing that I mentioned earlier about the self-regulating your energy level or your emotional state. Because when I keep doing that, you know, like if I keep comparing myself with the ideal position or the ideal self of what I wanted to be, where, which most of the time, you know, after 6 months, like, ooh, it's not there yet, you know, but at the same time, I raise the bar higher. You know, it's like, of course you're not there yet because you just raised the bar higher, you know, like that, right? And then, you know, like, so I develop a kind of like a system framework in my mind that, first of all, I need to be aware. So when that happened, instead of keep comparing yourself to that ideal situation, which automatically that will happen, but as soon as I realized that, I started to feel bad about things, I just stop. You know, it's like, hey, you're not doing any good favors for yourself in that sense, you know? So I just like, okay, stop that. And again, this is the part that you walk in the park, and when you started to feel like, oh man, we're just far from what I wanted to be, like that. So that's the part that I started to compare myself with my previous 90 days, my previous 6 months, my previous year, just to see like what progress have we made. And then when you started to think about it that way, that entrepreneur gap now is like, hey, you know what? It's not that bad. We made progress. We may not be there yet, but you know, there's a lot of progress that we made. Let's go another year. Let's go another 6 months. You know, and so it becomes that entrepreneur gap actually becomes a kind of like a motivation if you think about it that way. Yeah, just comparing yourself to your previous life and previous, you know, like 90 days or 60 days before that.
Yeah, that's why I think that this is so important for us to all do, because even people who haven't quite started in business but have like read books about it for years or listened to podcasts and prepared themselves for it, if you even stop right now and look back like a year or two and think about how much more you know right now, it's like you've moved so much closer than you ever were. And I think it's essential. I think it's really, although we have to keep pushing ahead and doing the big things, that's what makes us happy. But we have to live within the moment at times and really appreciate what we have been through.
Yep, agree.
Leon, this has been absolutely a blast. We've talked about your business in passing. Can you specifically tell the listener where they can go find out more about you and your business?
Yeah, you can go to ispionage.com. So ISP as a peanut, ionage.com. So essentially, what we do is that we are a competitive intelligence system that helps businesses to make better, smarter strategic decisions. For example, we help our customers monitor the changes that is happening on competitors' websites, or even following what the market leaders are doing, you know? So the goal of that, though, is not really to copy them. You know, we encourage our users to get that kind of like market insights. But the goal of that is to really be to come up with a strategy that stands out and unique and more converting than their competitors. Because like in these days and age, you know, whoever our prospects is just two clicks away from finding out what your competitors are doing. So we want to provide you with that kind of market insight, so that you can focus on your customers and your product essentially more than finding out about competitive intelligence. So that's where we come in. We wanted to provide you with that so you can focus and come up with a better strategic decision for your business.
Nice. I love it. I love it. And you personally, you're available to be reached on LinkedIn, is it?
Yes.
Excellent. So ispionage.com and LinkedIn for Leon. I will link to both of those in the show notes. So they're very easy for you to find and track down. Go check out as Espionage. I totally recommend it to you. And yeah, Leon, again, thank you so much for taking the time to join me today. I really, really, really do appreciate it. And please just keep doing what you're doing because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, that was a lot of fun. Thank you so much, Leon, for joining me. And thank you out there for listening. I hope you enjoyed that as much as I did. Leon is a smart, smart guy. He's the technical. He's not a co-founder, though, but I was going to call him a technical co-founder, but we discussed in there how he wishes, and if he could go back and start again, he would find a co-founder, but he's the very technical side of the business. He's the exact opposite side of a business that I would be. And I agree with having co-founders because I think we get, as I say, we should focus on our one or two skills we're really good at, and just kind of ignore the rest, but that obviously doesn't cover a whole business. And so having a co-founder, either technical or non-technical, the opposite of you, if you're technical, don't get another technical co-founder. It's not going to help you. But this really shows because the difference in my brain and the way Leon's works makes it very clear why co-founders work. Because some of the stuff he's talking about, like, I don't know. And then stuff I can talk about, he has no clue in. So it's interesting. It's an interesting perspective on it to see. But for this conversation, I had to go through three times and listen because there was seven different things I wanted to listen to. And there was one thing that Leon said, but it wasn't even one of those seven things. It was this small little thing that was almost hidden in the conversation. But it was really, really, really key and really important. It was that one thing that Leon said. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Sometimes you don't know. You don't know when to focus. You will know when after you're doing it, and then you know that, okay, this is not right. And then you got to pull the plug and just focus on the golden goose that provides for you, essentially.
And that's the hack. Leon, Leon, Leon. I love this. This is awesome. And this is one of the things that I get asked. This is one of the struggles. One of the huge struggles we have as entrepreneurs is what to focus on. What should I focus on? What's the one thing? You talk about the one thing all the time, John. What is the one thing that I should focus on? You know what? Sometimes nobody knows. Sometimes there's nothing, there's no formula where you can just figure that out. But the one thing I have learned after interviewing over 200 brilliant entrepreneurs from around this world is entrepreneurs that are successful make decisions. They make decisions quick and they go with them. And it's that ability to make that decision and to be decisive that makes it. So sometimes you're going to be decisive. You're going to make a decision. You're going to take an action and focus on something. And as Leon says, once you're doing it, you might realize that, okay, this isn't the right thing. And that's totally fine. That's not shiny object syndrome. That's nothing. That's you taking action on something that feels right and just going with it, or feeling slightly right. And you don't know, but if you put a bit of work, a few weeks work into it, or a month's work or 2 months work, you'll figure that out. And that's okay, because it's better to take that action. And oftentimes you'll get a month or two into it and you'll realize that you can just sort of pivot a little bit and it's like, wow, and some whole new world of opportunity will open up for you. But that world of opportunity will never open up for you if you sit there paralyzed with indecision. Trust me, it will never, ever happen. Thank you, Leon. That was awesome. I really, really appreciate that. All right. So thank you so much. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. The newsletter is the place to be. every Sunday afternoon, sometimes morning if I wake up early enough, but typically Sunday afternoon, you're going to get something from me that I'm going to sit down and I'm going to write with a cup of coffee or a cup of tea perhaps. And it's something I've learned that week. It's something I've dealt with in my business, or it's something that I've gone through, or it's something that some brilliant person has told me during a conversation that week. And it is something that will help you through the week. It'll help you and kick you in the ass, hopefully, in some way that you might need it to get going and do the work that matters to you and to the world around you. So yeah, get on that newsletter, hacktheentrepreneur.com. There's many places to get onto that email newsletter. Ultimately, there's a few different things you can download as you're on your way in if you wish, but ultimately it's going to end up where you're going to get my newsletter. And yeah, it's the place to be. Place to be. All right. Thank you so very much. I hope you do know how much I really, really, truly appreciate you stopping by and hanging out with me today. And just please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.